Welcome to the Entrepreneur Show. My name is Heidi Richards Mooney, your host and founder of Entrepreneurs.com, where we interview smart, savvy women who use online channels to promote their businesses. Today we have a very special guest. This woman is so full of passion. I'm very excited to share her with you. Her name is Hilda Rosenberg, and she's one of the featured speakers at this year's Women's Empowerment Summit, taking place March 29th at Broward College in Davie. Let me tell you a little bit about Gilda. For 33 years, she has been and still is a proud owner of Gilly Vending Incorporated. Gilda's passion for Gilly Vending didn't stop at just making a vending machine company, but through an unbeatable network of distribution and strategic alliance, Gilly developed into the country's leading minority-owned vending enterprise with hundreds of vending machines nationwide. Thanks to Gilda and her team, Gilly is known as a dynamic vending force, uniquely positioned to pioneer new innovations and effectively bring value to its partnerships. Today, she's going to share her unique story. Welcome, Gilda. Thank you so much,
Heidi, for that great introduction.
You're welcome. It's such a brief synopsis of all the things that you are and do. So
I'm honored.
We'll be able to share even more. It's my pleasure. So let's start right away with telling us a little bit about your background, how you first got interested in, you know, your current career path, and what experience led you to it.
Heidi, my story of starting this company is quite funny. I had graduated from Wellesley College, and my family expected me to go back to my family business, which I did. And I ended up getting fired by my dad as the first job I got. He put me in the collections department and said, "Gilly, I'm selling a lot, but I'm not collecting, and you need to come help the family business." And every call I got, someone was behind the line telling me that they couldn't pay for the equipment, that they had children and no money. So after a month, I really hadn't collected anything. And my dad said, "Gilly, you can't run a company if you don't learn how to collect." So he fired me and gave me 3 months rent and said, "Go back to Miami. I'm a dual citizen." And I was able to grab Miami. He gave me the Miami Herald and said, "Find a job." And I said, I will make you proud and make sure your investment in my college education comes back to you, Dad." And that was my promise to him. And when I saw the word machines, vending machines, it said, "We're looking for vending machines for a large distributor, a manufacturer." And because my family's business was machinery, I said, "Oh, that sounds good. I can do that." And it was my first real job. And that's really how lucky I am to be in the vending machine industry.
Oh, how wonderful. So tell us about your business. Tell us about the products that you offer and the solutions to problems that you solve.
Well, we're in a very innovative industry. I actually operate mostly in very fast-paced environments. So we do 24/7 automated snack and beverage equipment and food. So we actually target mostly the hospitals that have a 24-hour setting or colleges where students need a solution to be able to eat at any time of the day or night. We're also in transportation systems like airports. So my world is really targeting those, you know, to harness the innovations of today and bring it to the engaged community that I have.
So you primarily provide food products, food and beverage?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be snacks, it could be salads, sandwiches, beverages.
Oh, so you provide like fresh fresh foods as well as packaged goods.
Correct. Okay. And we do micro markets, and we do also solutions that have a lot of technology these days because of credit card usage. They can open coolers with their credit card and really actually have a much more engaging experience with the food that they are buying.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. Yeah. And I'm sure that there's a whole technology behind that. We probably won't get into that, but I have a quick question because I'm sure there's a story behind the picture on your wall.
Oh, so you know, my mom goes to that she loves the art shows here in South Florida. And when she saw that, I think it was the biggest investment she made into my office. And I love it because it really speaks a lot about the arts and crafts that we get down here. And my mom, it was really a very lovely gift from my mom.
Wow.
Well, we're getting out of carbonation. So
you are?
I think I'm getting about 50% now into the healthy group and 50% still love their Coca-Cola.
Right, but right.
One of my favorite
things. So what made you move into the more of the health conscious side of the business?
The federal government.
Okay.
It started really with the federal government regulation, and that really hurt me. I almost didn't survive. My company for 2 years almost went really, you know, and it was put in a very difficult situation. Let's put it financially, the whole industry collapsed. When the federal government decided, you know, not to allow high school kids to eat a certain amount of sodium or fat. So we had to hustle to really transform the company, but we did. And now we actually just installed a 100% healthy program for the San Francisco airport, and it's going really well. So I think that the people are changing. And if you change with the times instead of being scared to change, at the end of the day, you'll be triumphant. You know, I'm not scared to change. And my company seems to push me that way all the time.
Oh, that's great.
You were asking me about technology. I had to become a geek, and I'm not even a geek. Now I do more on that, more things that I never thought I would be capable of doing. It stretches you.
So what do you like best about what you do?
It surprises me that I could see a machine in Hawaii, like I'm watching you right now. So it gives me the ability to even have a machine in the Antarctica right now and be able to see the sails. Those things really amaze me. And I also see a lot of interesting product lines that are coming in the healthy department that amaze me. My friends are all bringing me now a whole bunch of new healthy bars or whatever it is to try. And you know, I get amazed what the quinoa, who knew what quinoa was 2 years ago?
Right. All right.
It was a word that nobody even spoke about. Today, it's like in my office all day long, people bringing me quinoa products. So I'm learning a lot from so many different industries inside my office that it's exciting.
That is exciting. So tell us about your ideal customer. Who do you typically work with? I know you mentioned hospitals and schools.
Right. And college. But you know, my ideal client really is a partner that is not scared to bring in new companies or try new companies that are innovative and entrepreneurial, because they actually help me more than anybody. They teach me how to grow and they actually mentor me. So a good client is really a partner that's not scared to take chances. That's first and foremost. Now, of course, a good client is someone where I can make money. But yes, I do work with mostly kids and mostly healthcare. And I think a good client also these days for me is the aggregation, the group purchasing organizations, which have really opened their wings to minority companies and supplier diversity. I never knew what supply chain managers were. And those three words changed my life, supply chain managers.
Fantastic.
It is just amazing what they do. And it's amazing how much they can teach companies how to grow. So
what do they do?
Well, they actually help any kind of company in the nation streamline their operations. So they're part of the purchasing pipeline. So whatever company you have or whatever service you provide, you will probably these days have to deal with the supply chain managers of colleges, universities, hospitals, airport, whatever company. You're going to be dealing with the supply chain manager is usually a key individual. So that helped me focus my marketing strategies all the way.
And we're going to talk about marketing strategies, but tell us about the very first client you had.
You know what? The Miami Free Zone and then Miami-Dade College really transformed my life.
Fabulous.
I was one of the first ones to really, and University of Miami also, it took me 5 years of going and knocking on those doors, and I was too small of an operator for them to even look at me, but I was persistent and I was consistent. And you know what, Heidi, once you can prove your results, meaning if you're not a results oriented company, nothing can help you. You got to find a way to show that you get results. Otherwise, they wouldn't have paid attention to me. So I was very consistent. And I also kind of started growing enough business to show them how good I was at what I did. So University of Miami and Miami-Dade College really grew my company very much.
That's wonderful. Well, and you need a takeoff point. And I think that you obviously did the right things to get to
that. Well, Broward College followed. You see, it took me, they waited. No, you know, it's funny because it's amazing the partnerships I'm building, and I'm building them one at a time organically. I don't want to do it any other way because it's not my way of doing things.
Well, let's talk a little bit about building your business. Can you tell us about two marketing strategies that you're currently working with or doing that have really helped you grow your business?
Okay. I think LinkedIn has become a very interesting source of professional connections. I never had even LinkedIn until a friend of mine taught me how to do it. And wow, it really works. So I love that. If I would have done it 3 years ago, I think I would have really harnessed many more friendships that I'm now starting to see the results from. So LinkedIn is one. And I think just keeping up with my industry, going to industry networking is critical. But you got to do it in the places you like, because if not, it becomes a job. And I realized that, you know, if I'm having fun, to me, I picked, thank God, a profession where I'm having fun while I'm working. So I'm a workaholic, but I play hard too while I'm with the friends in my industry. So, and I think the last one, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, is that I discovered what group purchasing meant. I didn't know how to aggregate my efforts. When you are entrepreneurial, you got to learn how to be efficient with your time. And the South Florida Minority Council,
yes,
started to kind of put me in that limelight. And from there, it was just beautiful. I met Dickie at the South Florida Minority Council, Beatrice Rissant. And then I travel. When I travel to the national conventions, I see all these same people that are my team leaders here in my farmland. So it's very important to build upon your councils and attend some of their events and do it personally.
So when you say networking, what type of networking events do you enjoy attending?
Oh, well, I'll go to a Baptist Foundation event and understand what the foundation does. I'll do a cancer event, a women's breast cancer event, because I'm a woman and half my friends may be going through it. I do a lot of children events. I did the zoo run. I really like to learn about innovations in my industry. I want to keep ahead of my competition.
Right.
So I got to be very much in those networks as well, industry. You got to be inside your industry, but also in your clients' line of fire. So I spend my time at a lot of hospitals lately. I was telling my mom, Mom, don't worry. I'm at MD Anderson, but don't worry, I'm okay.
You're not in a room. That's the important thing.
But it's interesting when you're traveling all the, and you see how many new companies are sprouting. I saw a 24/7 frozen yogurt bar at MD Anderson. You could go at 3 a.m, get your frozen yogurt, weigh it, and pay for it. And I didn't even know it existed. And wow. It was there that I saw it. So I do findings just by getting out of my office. Can you get me out of my office more often?
That's what you need to do. I think
you need to get out of your office.
Beyond the four walls that we
that is correct.
That's so true.
Yep.
You mentioned a few moments ago about mentoring, and you also, when we were having our brief chat beforehand, talked about that. So let's talk a little bit about mentoring, because I think that women understand the importance of it, but maybe not. So tell us, for you, the type of people that have mentored you that have really helped you, and then if you are currently mentoring anybody, you know what that's like for us, for you.
It's the most wholesome way to feel great every day. Just pass it on. It really is amazing. I have sometimes students from Broward College or FIU. We have programs at Gilly Bending for interns. And once my first intern was here, and I looked at that person kind of waiting to find a new way of thinking, I really got myself very involved. I like to personally mentor my students here, but I have very good mentors as well. And they're selfless people mm-hmm. that really go out of their way, but you have to also be able to help them. If you're not willing to do your part of that relationship and throw oxygen into it all the time, I think you got to act like a sponge. You got to want it and ask for it. Otherwise, you're the only one kind of saying, do you want to learn how to do this? And I think that I always tell my team, you know, ask me rather than waiting for me to come to you. But I have great mentors that I don't even know how I got so lucky from all the worlds that have made me a success nationwide. You know, I'm in 40 states, and it didn't happen if it wasn't for those who knew what they were, who wanted to share information, but also made that first phone call for you too.
Wow.
Because, you know, Heidi, it doesn't happen. But I requested it too. Hey, you know, Frank, can you help me do this? Dickie, do you think, you know, and I think that just also sharing with them where you're going and how they can help you get there. I'm not shameful about that. I think that you have to be able to guide your mentors and say, I want to go here. Do you know anybody, you know, at Johnson & Johnson or wherever you want to go, you know? I always think that if you guide your mentors, they're going to get you there.
I agree. I think mentoring is definitely a two-way street. It shouldn't be all about the mentor teaching the mentee. The mentee needs to be able to not only take in what they're learning, they also need to be able to articulate what it is they need. And some mentees some people don't know how to do that. They're you know, or they take, but they don't know how to give. So I think that a truly successful mentorship program is give and take. Absolutely.
Yeah, Heidi, and it goes back to communication, whether it's with your mama or with your mentor or with your brother or with your partner. I do think communication, if we all got better at communication classes, not only in writing, I see a lot of writing that goes on in my life, and it's the way you write that will make someone want to pick up that phone. And if you tick them off, they will not.
Right,
so you got to be able to read people and relax and be fun and be a happy person in other people's lives rather than always demand it or feel like you deserve it. Because I realize that there's no elevator to success, like a friend of mine says. There's only stairways.
Yeah.
Most people think there's an elevator. Oh, you'll get like, you know, not for most of us. Most of us really have to work it. We're not Steve Jobs, but he also worked it. And it's really a ladder to success. And people need to go through that learning stage.
Absolutely. I would agree. So let's talk a little bit about the Florida Women's Empowerment Summit. What do you think our audience, why should we... Now, let me start over. What can our audience expect to learn from attending the summit? And tell us a little bit about your role in it, what you're going to be doing.
I believe that just, you know, the energy that you create when you're around people that want to make a difference in itself, just knowing that everybody who's going to be there wants to make a difference. That sets us apart, first of all. And if you don't participate in something in life, then don't expect results from it. So I think that whoever goes to the summit is guaranteed results. Not only because I guarantee that personally, but I know the other ladies that will be there. And we are very generous with our time. And that's where it starts. And if you don't take advantage of opportunities like this, I mean, then you're missing out. And I would be very sad to see anybody miss out from this. It's a great way and what's nice is that when you're here and you could always come to my office, you don't have to travel to meet, you know, someone in Washington. We're here. We know the team players in government. We know people in the community. We know how things work. And I think that the team that you guys have assembled for this, event is unbelievable. I can't wait to meet some of them. I'm excited for myself.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's a passing on.
That's a sign of a lifelong learner, too, is someone like you who says, you know, here I am at this level, but I cannot wait to meet the women here, all over the place, because I know that there will be something that will make a difference. And I think that's what's good. I love attending women's conferences. I've learned more than anything I could ever teach at any of these things and made such great connections. Sometimes a mentor has shown up in my life, or I've shown up as a mentor to someone else just by being there, not by because by design of in any means, because I've just shown up and all of a sudden I've got this last event I went to that happened to me. And I'm always overwhelmed by the experiences that happen at these things. So,
You know what? What's the funnest part is that now I get invited by some of them to other events where they have a table and they paid a lot of money for the table, and they'll say, Gilly, you want to join us at the table? And you'll be amazed that I have tables that sometimes I have two seats that are worth $3,000. And I would love to have some of these people be able to, in 1 minute's notice, come to a nice event where they're going to meet. So you got to be aggressive in these events and go to them. Otherwise, that's how I built really my business, like you're saying. Go meet people. and have fun at it. Don't even try to get anything out of it. Have fun. It'll come to you. You will get it back.
I totally agree. So tell us about what you're going to talk about a little bit.
Well, I think that I try to galvanize some of my thoughts in the middle of the night when I'm about to present. And as a Hispanic, I got so much in my mind these days with a new change of government and so many people that I see making changes in their lifestyles. So I do feel that this year I want to try to help a lot more of the Hispanic women's community than where I'm at. I see so many of my partner women with children and you know, kind of disoriented. So I'd like to maybe focus my limelight also on my sisters that are moving to the South Florida community from other countries and be able to help them stabilize out here. So hopefully we'll be able to help them, direct them a little bit.
I think just by being you, you help people. I really do believe that because of your willingness to give and share and your positivity. I think that's so important, you know, knowing that, you know, there's always a way.
But you know what? It was a friend of mine, Danette Grossman, got me involved with PACE, also another organization to help, you know, certain
PACE
certain
is a wonderful group, yes.
And so I want to be able to, you know, and I go through mutations because some years I feel very American and some years I feel very much a child. And this year I feel very Hispanic.
Isn't
so you get like all kinds of sides to me depending on the moment, but you can imagine that, you know, I have a lot of ground to cover.
Oh, I think we all do, and I think that's wonderful because that's so inspiring to everybody. Tell us a little bit, because you're a successful entrepreneur, I am sure our listeners would like to know how you manage both your time personally and professionally. For instance, do you have things that you do or use in your business to automate it so you can spend more time doing things you love outside of work, et cetera?
Heidi, I'm going to give it to you in one word. It's your staffing. It's who you choose to run each of your departments and that gives you your lifestyle. And at one point, I used to do a lot of my staffing, and now I met a great friend of mine from the Minority Council, GDKN, and they helped me polish my staffing, and that has helped my lifestyle. And second of all, my lifestyle, because I love what I do, I don't have to juggle my personal. It happens organically, but yes, staff. Get yourself the right people that motivate you. Like I just hired Natasha, my assistant. She's a breath of fresh air, a young lady that also has to wake up and get that kid out. And I'm like, oh, I don't know how you do it, but I love it. And and she makes my world when I come in. And then I have my CFO that I trust with money, and if you don't have someone you could trust in that department, you can't sleep at night as an entrepreneur.
Right.
And you got to get that right, because when I didn't, I ended up in really serious situations.
Right, right.
So I do have to say, staff in a small company. Now, if you work for a big company, my advice would probably be different. I would probably do yoga at 5 a.m. if I worked for a big company, because you have a very structured environment. But for me, as an entrepreneur that has a little bit more flexibility, staff is my joy.
So they're it's the people good. That you surround yourself with.
Oh, exactly. Yes.
So,
and your friends make a difference as well. If you have to get rid of a few friends, when I got rid of a few friends, my life ended up much better too. So sometimes you need to let go of baggage, but you also need to be able to be truthful to yourself if your staff is correct for what you're trying to accomplish. I don't think I was truthful with myself for many years. And then I met, Jay Narang, who's a genius in what he does. And he's one of my mentors, and he's a big guy in the community. He would be someone I would recommend as a mentor to any of the ladies who will be listening to our nice little chat.
That's wonderful. And I think that the key that you just mentioned is surrounding yourself with people who are good at what they do, and they're the right people for you. Because there's a lot of people who are good at what they do, but they're not necessarily the right people, a good fit. Right. Obviously have had to go through a few people to find the right tribe for you, correct?
Sounds I've like just a few frogs, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who hasn't?
Well, that's good.
A few warts to prove it.
Oh, you know what? Everybody laughs at my interviewing abilities now. I'm like an expert at interviewing someone in 10 minutes. I already know if they will fit into my life. Oh. So, yeah, it is important to know what you're looking for and to be able to see people who talk too much and do very little. And as an entrepreneur, I think I have a few questions that I've learned to ask that have nothing to do with work. If you ask someone, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do on your weekends? Instead of asking him about work, you'll learn more about someone. When someone says, I don't do anything, hey, you know what? That's a problem. That's a problem when someone has no hobbies or anything of solid, matter to them.
Yeah. That could be a huge red flag, because then they have no life and you worry about them.
Yeah. Then I would have to start with their hobbies before their work habits.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about the books that you're currently reading or would recommend.
Usually the books that come to me is because I have good friends. Danette Grossman got me the Good to Great. Because I was a candidate for the Good to Great Awards by the Chamber of Commerce. So I had never read the book, From Good to Great. And there is a very interesting synergy between that book and what I'm going through in my life. So that was very helpful. And then I had another friend that heard around the grapevine that I liked the book, Who Moved My Cheese? And she left the book on my desk saying, I moved your cheese. So I finally read the book, Who Moved Your Cheese? And I Moved Your Cheese. So I just read those. Those two are my latest books, and I love them both.
Those are the kind of evergreen books that you can read anytime, because the principles are timeless in both of those books. So they're really great books. And it's funny you mentioned, because I'm starting to hear a lot, like Built to Last is a book.
Yes.
Around a while, but a couple people have mentioned that, and I love the fact that these books that have been around a while are seeing a resurgence, because their message is so important that people need to read them. You know, most of the books you read today are a lot to do with technology. There's nothing wrong with that, because I read a lot of those books, but it's always good to know that there's, I don't want to say classics, but maybe they are kind of classics. They're the books that that when you pick them up today, or you picked them up 5 or 10 years ago, the message is still the same. And even if we've changed the way we do things, that the way inside that we do things doesn't change. As humans, we're still human,
hopefully. That is correct.
So thank you for those two wonderful books and for mentioning them. What's the best way to contact you?
Oh, I'm easy. They you can find me through my email or LinkedIn, and I'm on my website, gillyvending.com. Anybody can contact me.
I'm going to put that down in the notes, gillyvending.com. Excellent. That's how I got you. So any last thoughts, Gilda?
Gee, I think that just love every part of what you do every day, it'll transform itself into love back, and you will get everything you want out of life from everybody around you.
I totally agree. Thank you.
Yeah. Just do it with love.
Yes, thank you. Do it with love. I'm so looking forward to meeting you at the Women's Empowerment.
Equally. Summit. Anything I can do for your wonderful audience, I'm here for them.
Fantastic. Well, I just want to thank you for being a guest today. I want to thank everyone for listening to our show. And I want to mention a special that we have called the Social Media Live program. It's called newsocialmedialive.com. And I'd love for you to check that out. And for those of you who are listening, and this is our shameless plug for that, be sure to go there and you can save 50% when you register by using the word SAVE50 at checkout. And that's newsocialmedialive.com. Again, it's Heidi Richards Mooney, the Entrepreneur Show, and I had the pleasure of interviewing today Gilda Rosenberg from Gilly Vending. Thank you so much, Gilda, for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Heidi, for having me. Look forward to seeing you in person.